Andy Brickley joins us this time each and every Wednesday at noon, brought to us by Shaw's Supermarkets. He's on the AT&T hotline right now. And Andy, it was last night a case of the hockey gods kicking the Bruins while they were down, in the sense they had an off night, yet I could just see Peter Chiarelli or Claude Julien taking the clicker and going through and coming to the National Hockey League Network or going to Nesson and seeing the highlights. Oh, Boychuk scored. Oh, Kessel game winner in overtime. Sagan had a hat trick. Come on! Enough is enough. Were you thinking that a little bit yourself?
A lot of former Bruins on the board, and when you're struggling to score goals, it certainly gets your attention, no doubt about it. But, hey, their focus is just solely on themselves right now. And, you know, they felt like they played better in the last game, even though they lost in horrible fashion at the end of the game. But their focus is on them, and I'm sure the scoreboard got Peter's attention, but it's not really his focus.
Hey, Brick, the signing of Simone Gagné to a one-year deal, kind of be on that line, you know, with Spooner down on that fourth line. What do you expect from him? What have you seen from him? I mean, can he be a guy that eventually maybe works up to that first line, given his experience?
I don't know if first line status is really where he'll ultimately be. I mean, if things go well and he plays to his strengths and stays healthy, he can get back to NHL form, I think he'd be somewhere in the top nine. But my expectation, Lou, would not be, not a first line guy. I think that's a hole that they have to fill from outside the organization. I think that's essentially where the Bruins will end up. Griffith is getting an opportunity here now. I'm not sure if they're going to tweak that line either. No indications at morning skate. They're just going to kind of play it and the way they've been playing it recently. But as far as Gagné, I think because of the struggles, because of the four goals in four games, the fact that they signed him, I think that's just an accelerated pace. I think the expectation was that he had a chance to be signed. If they had won a couple of games and scored six or seven goals, maybe he wouldn't have signed a contract at this point, because he's still working his way into NHL game shape. The hands are there, the mind's there, but you know, when you've played about, 40% of all possible games over the last 5 years, that's a lot of time to make up.
Hey, Brick, I always get nervous when I hear people, media people, whatever, writers talking desperation, must win, and you know, you've only played four games. So the Bruins obviously haven't started the way they wanted to, and now they have the Detroit Red Wings. So how important is this game for the Bruins?
It's not a must win. No, I'm not in that camp at all. What it is a must play better. That's all. They like some of the things that they did in the last game. Was it a complete game by any means? No, but better decision-making overall, and that's where their mistakes are right now. Their decision-making has just been terrible as a group. Whether the effort's there or not, that's debatable, but it's the decision-making that's cost them. So this is a must-play better game. They're looking at this as a three-game road trip. They probably set a goal of 4 points. You got Buffalo on Saturday, tough game tomorrow night in Montreal. So this is important that they play well here. If they play well, they have a very good chance of taking points out of this one. And, Detroit's a pretty good team. They're not great. This is always a tough building to play in, but the Bruins should play with a real determination, a little bit of anger, and a real team attitude, and, whatever it takes to win kind of approach to the game. But it's all about playing better, and that's their focus.
Andy Brickley with us from Nesson, talking Bruins here on 93.7 WEI. Andy joins us at this time every week on Wednesdays to discuss hockey. And I don't know if it was before or after the Avalanche game, Andy, when Claude Julien said words to the effect of, well, we got Seth Griffiths on the top line because, well, Jerome McGinley's playing on the other team. And some people, myself and I was included in them, just sort of took that comment and thought, well, is that like a swipe at the fact that they didn't sign McGinley to stay here? How did you interpret that? And to the best of your knowledge, was Julien chapped at the fact that they didn't do more to, if not keep McGinley, at least replace him more readily?
Yeah, I just think it was a subtle statement saying, this is the team. This is the team that I have. This is the talent level that I have. These are the options that I have, or limited options that I have, in order to find somebody to play alongside David Krejci. It's Krejci's first game, and Griffith was the guy that was going to get the opportunity based on the way he played in camp. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think that was, don't read too much into that. Just quote frustrated, and nobody likes to be 1-3, and the sting of losing a game in the final second, when you feel like you're going to take points or a chance to take 2 points out of the game and the pressure to win at the head coaching level in the NHL. So I think it was just frustration and just say, hey, look, this is my team. This is the way it is. It is what it is. This is the players I have. And, I wish I had I wish I had more options, but I don't right now.
Hey, Brick, we start talking about shuffling some of these lines and maybe putting new guys in there with that top line. Does Riley Smith ever come to mind? Because I know, I think it was DJ Bean saying that maybe a guy like Seth Griffith, his skill set might actually fit well with Bergeron and Marchand.
Yeah, that makes a little bit of sense. If you're going to tweak the four line combinations, if you're not getting what you need in terms of a sustained offensive attack, I like Smith. I think everybody likes Smith with Bergeron and Marchand. They were great together all last year. But if you need to get something going with your team and you got to tweak your lines, that makes a little sense. Sure, Griffith could play alongside Bergeron and Marchand and see what you get with Smith playing alongside David Krejci. So that would not surprise me if we saw it tonight, if things don't go the way the Bruins want early in the hockey game. And, they're looking for something. They got to find some kind of sustained attack. They want to play four lines or at least, three and then spot a fourth line. But that would not surprise me, Lou. And in fact, it's not a bad idea at all.
All right, Brick. So Milan Lucic, right? 0 goals, 0 assists, 4 total shots in 4 games. I mean, if you were coaching him up, what would you tell him to do? I guess what would you tell him to work on to basically get his game back where it needs to be?
I think it's pretty simple. He's got to skate. People say they use the phrase "move your feet," but a better phrase is skate. You got to skate. If you want to be a physical guy, you got to get there. The pace of the game is so fast today, so quick, that if you don't bring your skating game right from puck drop, then you're going to be chasing it all night. He can't be a physical guy if he doesn't get in on the forecheck by skating. He can't get to offensive scoring chances if he doesn't skate. It's that simple for him. If he just focuses on that one aspect of his game and don't overanalyze and don't overthink and don't make excuses and don't rationalize, just bring your skating game, then he's going to be a good player. And I think that's where it all begins for Luch.
Andy Brickley with us from Nesson. I got to follow up on that, Andy. Luch, Seidenberg, those guys come to mind as players who look like they're rusty to start, and maybe even Krejci in his first game back. Do you attribute to the slow starts for those guys to rust, or is it still healing from injury? Are these guys not healthy and just out there because they have to be to start the year?
Well, I'd put Seidenberg in that category. I mean, that's a major, major injury that he's coming back from. And you go back to the playoffs last year, and there was talk about him starting in the third series if the Bruins were able to get by Montreal and play the Rangers that he was going to play. And you really think about it and say, really? Do you really think that was going to be the case? Because, he looks like a guy that's coming off major knee surgery. When you miss that amount of time, you're talking, back in November was or December when he got hurt? So that's a lot of time to miss. You can do all the training you want, dry land, skating on your own when you're physically able to. But it's game condition. It's game scenarios. It's decision making. It's, left side, right side, pivoting, the pace of the game, retrieving pucks under duress. I mean, you can't simulate that. When you're working out or when you're practicing, you just don't have it. And even though he had training camp, it's still not enough. He needs to play games. He needs to play NHL pace, regular season pace. So it's going to take him some time, but he grinds it out. He's not a negative right now. Is he the Dennis Seidenberg that you want him to be? Not yet, but he'll get there. So I don't worry about him. Lucic, I don't put him in that category. A wrist injury, whether it's major surgery or minor surgery, however you want to classify it, again, it's his legs, it's his skating game. He can still be involved. He can still do more. So I don't chalk it up to injury with him. And David Krejci, I didn't mind his game at all. First game back, I thought he looked all right. He said he was a little winded at times, but his game is fine. And they even if he's at 80%, he's your best option as far as, having him and Bergeron as your 1-2 punch.
Brick, one of the criticisms of Julian is like maybe sometimes patience with younger players that he has maybe more so with the veterans. But I honestly think that's his team in nature. But when you start moving guys around and shifting guys around, especially maybe defensive pairings, and you say, okay, I'll get Miller. Nope, didn't work. Barkowski. Nope, didn't work. McQuaid, let's move him around. Isn't there a fine line between not having enough patience or just letting these guys settle in together and work together and give it some time?
Well, what it tells you, first of all, is what a loss it is to have Johnny Boychuk non-lineup. That being said, McQuaid, you have a really good deep six if McQuaid is your 5-6 pair. If Krug and McQuaid are together as your 5 and 6, Now you're really deep and you got a really good defense. So I think McQuaid's playing too many minutes. And why is he playing too many minutes? Because the first 3 games, Kevin Miller did not distinguish himself. He was the leader in terms of who's going to get that opportunity first, he or Bartkowski. Well, he got it, And he really didn't distinguish himself in the first three games, so they give Bartkowski a chance. Bartkowski goes in, which means Seidenberg's got to slide over to the right side. Seidenberg's having his struggles just getting back to game shape, game conditions, as we just talked about. Bartkowski makes some poor decisions. So the expectation is Miller will go back in tonight, and hopefully a message has been delivered, and he understands that he needs to do more, needs to be more effective. And now you have a better group of six. But it comes down to decision-making, and I'm emphasizing that, and I can't say it enough, because the way the Bruins play with their system, they want to play all 60, but in order to make the right decisions, you know, you have to be totally invested in the game. And I think when you start 1-3 and you lose the way you did against Colorado, I think you'll see better decisions tonight from them as a group.
Andy, thanks a lot for coming on with us. Greatly appreciate it. If we know tomorrow morning that Sean Thornton or Andy Ferentz has gotten a hat trick, then we know something's up.
Okay, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for checking in, all right? Andy Brickley from Nesson on 93.7 WE.